Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. One of the many associations with Christmas is the element of light. We put lights on our Christmas trees. We light candles as part of our service. Lights are placed in the windows of homes and churches, and when outside on the shrubbery, and even in towns, extra lights are placed along the streets during Christmas. We like lights, bright lights during Christmas. Tonight, I want to focus on this word, light. Light specifically, Jesus being the light of the world. When we enter our house at night, I want as fast as I can to turn on the lights so I can see what in the world I'm doing. Nothing like trying to motor and go about in darkness and there's an object there that you didn't think was there and down you go. Physical light gives us direction and safety so that we don't stumble and fall. Before I get into the details of Christ as the light of the world, I want to speak briefly about what we mean by the word light when used in a religious context. The word light in a religious context refers to a truth. In the case of Jesus Christ, the truth of his identity and his work on our behalf. And so this whole idea of I saw the light, meaning the light of God's truth, the light of Jesus Christ and who he is. God gives us this light, this revelation of who Jesus is and what he has done for us through the divine revelation of his written word, which accurately describes Jesus Christ. With that in mind, let us consider this evening the light of Christ. First of all, the light of Christ points to the truth of the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is God. That's why we fall down and worship and adore him. It's an aspect of when we go around to neighbors and friends and in the malls and we wish one another Merry Christmas. We're saying Jesus is God. We're not just saying he's a good historical figure on the level of Confucius or Buddha. No, we're saying he's God. John 1 verses 1 and 2 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of as the Word of God. This echoes the message of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But John 1:1 is distinct from Genesis in that while Genesis 1:1 refers to God's activity in creating the world, John refers to the one, the Word, who existed before the worlds were created. To take the message of John 1:1 a step further, the Word not only existed before the creation of the world, but the Word had an eternal relationship with God. This eternal relationship between God and the Word is the central revelation of this gospel, and it is the key to understanding it all that Jesus says and does. The truth of the eternal Word is expressed in these two phrases, the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word was with God reveals that the Word is distinct from God, and the Word was God reveals that the Word is of the same substance and essence as God the Father. These two truths, that the Word is distinct from God the Father and yet on the same substance of God the Father, seems impossible to logically reconcile. Yet both truths must be held with equal firmness. If we are to truly receive this Word as light, then we must receive him as he is written in the Gospels, even when it goes against our limited understanding. John then goes on in verse 3 to speak of the relationship between the Word and creation. John 1:3 says, "All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." For the Jewish people, creation took place through God's speech, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Psalm 33 verse 6 also says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host." John 1:3 affirms that all things were created by the word, and through the word there were no exceptions. He made everything, and nothing that has been made was apart from the word. Already we see that this word is fully God, and he does in creation a work that only God can do. The deity of the Word is also seen as he is the source of life. John 1, 4, and 5 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Only God is the source of life, and here again the word's deity is viewed from the fact that he is the source of all life. The truth that John is pointing to is seen in verses 6 through 10, but before I go on to these verses, I want to lay the foundation that John's word, light, and their meaning as John speaks of them, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Light refers here not to physical light and darkness, but moral and spiritual light and darkness. So light stands for the truth of this word's identity, and darkness stands for all those people who reject, who close their eyes and refuse to believe in this word as God. So the light coming into the darkness, I take to mean the entrance of this word into the world. More about that in a minute. Secondly, the light of Christ refers to the truth of the humanity of Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says this, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." It is here that John speaks of the grand entrance of this word as he comes into the world and takes on human flesh. Theologians have summarized this union of divinity and humanity in the person of Jesus Christ as his incarnation. The eternal word became flesh, which means Jesus Christ took our humanity on himself, including a body and a soul. And so when you looked at the face of Jesus Christ, you were looking at the face of God. God the Son, while never ceasing to be God, became a human being, a creature, became like one of us, yet without sin, and lived among us. The scriptures affirm both the word's deity and humanity, not in a philosophical way, but in religious devotion, worship, and obedience to this word who became flesh. The apostolic writers clearly see that both the deity and the humanity of Christ are essential to his work of saving us. Jesus Christ, as God the Son, fully disclosed what God the Father was all about in his heart, mind, and will. For John 1:18 says this, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." Understanding Jesus' true deity and humanity is essential to understanding his words and actions throughout the gospel. It helps to explain the purpose of his miracles, his claim of the authority to forgive sins, his miracles of silencing a storm, being able to walk on water, and to multiply a meager amount of food to feed thousands of people. John's words are also an antidote to any claim of seeing or knowing God apart from Jesus Christ. Because it's through Jesus Christ that we gain knowledge of God the Father. We can only know God through Jesus Christ, for Jesus himself says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father but through him. He also said about himself in John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the fullness of God in bodily form, and we cannot know God apart from the revelation of Jesus Christ as God and man. This brings me to my third and final point. The light of Christ refers to the saving work of Christ. I've already touched on this point, but I want to emphasize it further. John 1:9-12 says, there was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Jesus is this true light which came into the world, and he shows us the light, the pathway of salvation. This context reveals the pathway of salvation is by believing in Christ's name. In ancient times, a person's name stood for the person himself and his identity. So in my case, if my father would say to me, don't besmirch the Benner name, he's talking about what I did. So to believe in Christ's name is to believe in Jesus and who he has been revealed as God and man. To change one's name is to change one's identity. And this ought to ring bells in our modern ears because we have great concerns to protect our identity. So no disreputable person can come along and steal your identity and use your credit to make purchases. We call this identity theft. One person claiming to be someone whom they are not in order to take advantage of you. Jesus Christ is not committing fraud or identity theft when he claims to be God and Savior. He made those statements and he meant them, and further, his statements are true because he really is Lord, God, man, and our Savior. Rod Whitaker says this in his commentary on John. Quote, in our text, therefore, to believe on Jesus as Christ's name means the acceptance of Jesus to the full extent of his self-revelation, including especially his deity. Becoming children of God means we are adopted into God's family through faith in Jesus as God and man and our Savior. And it is through the eternal Son of God that we become adopted children of God. And in this life begin to reflect God's character and divine life in us. John's gospel will make it clear that believing in Jesus Christ is not merely intellectual agreement with the identity of Christ, but following Christ in a Lord-disciple relationship in which we submit ourselves to him as Lord, Master, Teacher, and Savior. John 1:17 also says this about the Lord Jesus. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. In various verses in this passage, John the Baptist bears witness to the one who is the light, the one who came after him, but also existed before him. To say that grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ is equivalent to saying that the culmination of God's promises given in the Old Testament through the law and the prophets of the Messiah are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So when we draw all these truths together, in one person, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Word, the light of the world. The Word became flesh, one who was with God and is God and fully explains the Father. This is what Christmas is all about. The person and work of Jesus Christ, God and man, for our salvation. To him be glory, honor, and praise, both now and forever. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, desire of all nations, come and strengthen us by your word and might. Give us your gifts of peace and salvation and wholeness. Help us to confess your holy name as the Lord and Savior of the world and our Lord and Savior. These things we beg through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now